أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 68. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْكُفَّارَ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا هِيَ حَسْبُهُمْ وَلَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ. Allah has promised the hypocrites, men and women, and the faithless, the fire of hell, to remain in it forever. That suffices them. Allah has cursed them, and there is a lasting punishment for them. Now, we discussed this verse last week. However, there was one concept in the verse which needed more discussion, and that's the concept of la'na, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La'na literally means to make someone to go at a distance, actually to depart from someone, to keep someone at distance. This is la'na. Now, with regards to the la'na, which is used as a concept in religion, and this is something which comes in most books, and all religions have this concept with regards to God and in relation to the people. It is a type of exclusion of the people, of the servants, from the mercy, from the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give them. This is the meaning of la'na. So when we say that Allah curses someone, it means that He excludes them from His blessings. He excludes them from His favors and mercy. Of course, the most outstanding example of la'na, of someone who was given this la'na by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the example of shaitan, which Quran mentions that until the day of judgment he's under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, as we have in Surah Hijj, upon you is my curse until the day of judgment. Now, this curse has caused Shaitan to be excluded from the mercy and therefore excluded from the paradise. What this curse does, actually, is that makes the person to be distanced from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart, the soul, the mind would not accept any blessing, spiritual blessing. Of course, we are not talking about material blessings. It could be blessings, could be otherwise. The soul, the heart, the mind is actually excluded permanently from the blessing of faith, from the blessings of spiritual favors given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to some people. Shaitan has given all sorts of powers and amenities. He has his pleasure in this world, and he has actually achieved mostly what he wanted by being given respite until the day of judgment. He tries to mislead people, he succeeds, it gives him joy, enjoyment, pleasure. This is all what he has gained by that respite Allah has given him. However, he is under the curse, meaning that he never can have the pleasure of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, brings with it the blessings of Allah, brings with it the connection and link of the soul with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the highest type of pleasure a person can have. in this world and in the next. So if someone is under the curse, it doesn't mean that they are not given material pleasures or blessings. It doesn't mean that their material life would go worse, or they would be poor or something like that. Not at all. They might have a very good life in this world. However, the heart cannot be opened to the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That type of pleasure can never come to the person who is under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in the Quran, if we follow instances in which the curse is mentioned, the la'na of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, we would find out that it is used in this very same meaning. If la'na comes, you are excluded from the intimate closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing is that the faith would go out of the heart, and faith would never come to a heart which is under the curse, because curse is actually to drive off, to keep at distance. And how would a person kept at distance could have faith and the pleasure of closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In Surah Ahzab, we have, as Allah says, He has cursed Shaitan because, of course, كَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He was from the kafirin. He was ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that he did not believe in God. You see, that I don't think there is anyone who has more faith in God than Shaitan, as is mentioned in Quran as well. That Shaitan mentions, "Inni akhafu Allah, I fear God. Inni ara ma la tarun, I see what you do not see, you people you do not see." However, despite that faith and knowledge that he has, he's ungrateful. This is the ungratefulness which brings him under that curse. And Allah cursed him because kana min al-kafirin, he was from kafirin. However, the rule is more general. As it's mentioned in the Quran, it said in Surah Ahzab, "Inna Allah la'ana al-kafirin wa a'adda lahum sa'ira." Allah has cursed the kafirin and has prepared for them the sa'ir, which is the place of distance from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as I said, this curse which comes on a person, and in fact, it is something which people themselves put them under it. By going ungrateful, by becoming a kafir, you put yourself under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore you wouldn't get close. Now, it changes the heart. The heart, when it changes, the whole window towards the spirituality is closed to it. That, of course, pleasing the spirituality, not just having the knowledge about God, that God exists. No, the pleasure of intimacy with God, the pleasure of closeness with God. Now, in Surah Muhammad, peace be on him, Allah speaks of a group of people who have changed the blessing of guidance with disbelief. Now, he says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَصَارُمْ. These are the people whom Allah has cursed. Now, what is the consequence of this curse? When Allah curses them, what happens to them? They go deaf and blind. فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَصَارُمْ. They cannot hear, they cannot see anymore. Of course, hearing of things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to hear in this world, and seeing the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to see in this world, these are the things which would completely go away from a person which is under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just like Shaitan. He sees that his Lord is there, he has created things, but he doesn't see things that a faithful person would see. He doesn't hear things that a faithful person would hear. So Allah has made them deaf and blind. And then Allah mentions one example for us as a very palpable and reasonable example that we can test people whether they are on the curse or not. Now it says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not ponder on the Qur'an? Well, the answer is yes, certainly, because they pondered on the Qur'an very much to find a refutation of it and mention it against the Prophet. So the answer is certainly they ponder on the Qur'an, certainly they think, they recite, they go through these verses. But why they do not understand? Why the faith does not enter the heart? Because أَمَّ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالَهَا. Or the hearts have their locks, which is put there by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that curse. So they cannot understand anymore. So they are on the curse, they are deaf blind, and the example, the reason for it, the palpable reason and example for it is that they recite the Quran, but they do not understand. Do they not ponder in it? Yes, they do. But why they don't understand it? Because there are locks on the hearts. Now, in the Quran, of course, we have in several occasions that some Jews were cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of some very horrendous type of actions that they did with regard to the guidance given to them. First of all, they made the guidance, which was for the whole people, a guidance for their own race and for their own clan and tribe. And they conceived it from others and actually barred others to use this guidance. And this was something which was quite unacceptable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They broke the covenant of Musa alayhi salam that they should preach this to everyone and everyone should come under this guidance. It says, فَبِمَا, this is Surah Ma'idah, it says, فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ. Because they broke the covenant. لَأَنَّاهُمْ, we cursed them. Now, this curse, of course, doesn't show in material life, certainly. As we said last week, there is no link between material well-being and closeness to Allah or being far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what was the consequence of this curse? وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. We made their hearts to go dry and hard. And so they do not understand anything anymore with regards to closeness and intimacy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the concept of curse. This curse, of course, as we had in Surah Ahzab, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah has cursed kafirin. So that's why they do not understand anything. They are not included in the mercy. And in the same way here, Allah tells about munafiqun, who are actually among the faithful, who show faith, but of course they are not faithful in their hearts. The same thing happens to them, that Allah has cursed these people as well. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْكُفَّارَ نَارَ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا هِيَ حَسْبُهُمْ وَلَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah has cursed them, the munafiqun. So the same thing happens for them as it happens for kafirin, as it happens for shaitan, as it happens for some Jews, that they do not understand. And it might happen for Muslims as well, even if they are not hypocrites, for because of some action. If you go to books of tradition, there are many, many traditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed such and such people because of their actions. And the action, the meaning of this is that the action sometimes make you excluded from that ultimate mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the purpose of your creation. And this is why we have to be careful about. I mean, the consequences of the actions are not equal. Sometimes they are forgivable, sometimes they are ignorable, but sometimes they bring us under the curse, and that is, they close the heart. They make the heart to go black, dry, and hard. جَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. The heart would go dry, and then, of course, there is no cure for this, except in very, very exceptional cases. Now, if curse is exclusion from the mercy, So there should be a particular type of mercy. Of course, Allah is merciful to everyone, and that's the providence that He has, the provisions He gives everyone. But there is a special type of mercy, which is the purpose of our creation, that we have to enter that mercy. If we come under the curse, we do not enter that mercy. And if we come under the curse, we go to hell. Because hell is a place for the cursed. And the paradise is a place for those people who are included in that mercy. Now, in Surah Shura, there is one verse alluding to this special mercy. It says that وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. In this way we have revealed to you a very clear book, لِتُنْذِرَ أُمَّ الْقُرَى وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا, so that you warn the people of Umm al-Qura, people of Mecca, and those who are around you. وَتُنْذِرَ يَوْمَ الْجَامَةِ, and also to warn the day which we gather everyone. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. And on that day, some people go to paradise, some people go to hell. Now, why some people go to paradise, some people go to hell? Why God did not create everyone in a way that eventually all of us go to paradise, rather than some going to hell, some going to paradise? Well, Allah explains here. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَهُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَهُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. If God wanted, He would have made them just one group. Everyone would have gone to paradise. It was possible for me to do this. Now, this is very important, very deep. This answers many questions that sometimes we have. So, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَهُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَكِنْ يُدْخِلُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. However, He only makes those whom He wishes into His mercy. That's of course paradise. Because He says a group of people go to hell, a group of people go to paradise. If He wished, He would have made them just one group, all of them going to paradise. However, He only makes those whom He wishes to enter into His mercy. وَالظَّالِمُونَ مَا لَهُمْ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. And the wrongdoers, the ظالمون, they wouldn't have anyone to guard, to guide them and to be their guardian, and anyone to help them. Now, the idea is that you can only enter the mercy of God due to some condition. Of course, only those whom He wishes, His wish, is not just like our whimsy wishes. His wish is a rule which is a benevolent rule, a wish which is backed by wisdom. Behind it is lots of wisdom and knowledge. Now, He only makes those whom He wishes to enter into His mercy, because He knows that to enter in that final mercy, and that is to become creatures who have the image of God on them, who are godlike, so to speak, who have the powers that He has. And this is the mercy. He wants to give us the powers that He Himself has, to make a type of small example of Himself in every human being. So this is not possible unless we have that will that He has. He is the ultimate being with ultimate free will, and He wants us to have that free will. To enter into that mercy, we should have that free will. And to have that free will, we can become zalim, wrongdoers, and wrongdoers cannot enter into that mercy. However, the ultimate aim is to make us enter into that mercy. And then, of course, the equation goes. If you want to enter into that mercy, you have to have free will. If you have free will, you might become zalim. If you become zalim, you cannot enter into that mercy. So it is an equation which is very well established by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have to enter into that mercy. And Allah knows that, of course, how many people would deviate and how many people would enter. And that is the purpose of creation, to enter into that mercy. In Surah Fath, there is another very interesting allusion to this fact. When, of course, the army of Islam entered Mecca, Allah told them that you should, before entering Mecca on the Hudaybiyah, where they made it, the sword of Hudaybiyah, Allah told them that if I wanted, I could have give you victory. You could have entered Mecca and you could have killed many mushrikun. But we somehow stopped you from entering and stopped you from killing and them killing you. وَهُوَ الَّذِي كَفَّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ عَنْكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ بِبَطْنِ مَكَّةِ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ أَظْفَرَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Now this is after the fact of Mecca. When you entered, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you refrain from killing and didn't give them power to kill you, so you entered very peacefully. Now, why did we do that while they were kuffar? Did we have any value for them that we did this, that you should not kill them? No, we didn't have any value for them. They were kuffar. It says, هُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Although I know, of course, this is telling the Muslims that why you should refrain from killing. I know that they are kuffar. I know that previously in Hudaybiyah when you came, they barred you from entering, from doing your pilgrimage. هُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. وَصَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. This was very appalling. I mean, a Hajj coming for Hajj, they stop and prevent him. Even in the time of Jahiliyyah, it was very appalling to do. And they stopped, of course, the followers of Muhammad, peace be on him, to perform the pilgrimage in Hudaybiyah, in the year of Hudaybiyyah. And Allah says, I know this. هُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. I know that you brought lots of sacrifices with yourself. And these sacrifices, you cannot do anything with them but to slaughter them. And they turned them away from Mina. وَالْهَدِيَ مَعَكُوفًا أَنْ يَبْلُغَ مَحِلَّهِ. The sacrifices were turned away. They weren't allowed to come to the place of sacrifice, and this was abhorrent even at the time of Jahiliyyah as well. I know all these things. You do not nag at the Prophet that why you should refrain from fighting. However, there is one other thing. وَالْهَدْيَ مَعْكُوفًا أَنْ يَبْلُغَ مَحِلَّهِ. وَلَوْلَا رِجَالٌ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءٌ مُؤْمِنَاتٌ لَمْ تَعْلَمُوكُمْ. However, among these kuffar, there are some people who have faith covertly in their heart. They didn't reveal it because they were afraid. There are some faithful people, you don't know them. They might come now to you and say, we have faith in Islam. But all the people have come and said that we have faith in Islam. They are all hypocrites now. Under the duress, they have come and claim that they are Muslims now. But there were some true, real mu'minun hiding here. They concealed their faith. وَلَوْلَا رِجَالٌ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءٌ مُؤْمِنَاتٌ. There were some faithful men and women. لَمْ تَعْلَمُوهُمْ. You did not know them. If you wanted to kill, you would have killed them as well. فَتُصِيبَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَعَرَّةٌ بِغَيْرَ عِلْمٍ. And if you had done that, the consequences of it would have come back to you. Why? We don't want you to do this. لَيُدْخِلَ اللَّهُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah wants these faithful to develop and enter His mercy. This is the purpose of creation. Allah wants it to happen. لَيُدْخِلَ اللَّهُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. لَوْ تَزَيَّلُوا. If you could distinguish between them. If they were separated, then of course we would have allowed you to punish them. But now it's not allowed. In fact, the very presence of those faithful who conceal their faith among the kuffar of Mecca was a blessing for them, isn't it? They were saved from punishment because of those people who conceal their faith and were staying in Mecca. Because Allah wants to make these people to enter His mercy, want to continue with their lives. There were children who would have become faithful later on. لِيُدْخِلَ اللَّهُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the whole purpose. This is the whole purpose. Now, if Allah curses someone, what does it mean? It means He's barred from the purpose. That's the end of it. That's the end of the story for someone who's cursed. Because now, the purpose, the final goal of creation is not fulfilled in their regard. So, this is the most terrifying punishment that God can put on someone, to curse. Of course, we are always afraid of the curse of God, or curse of people. But we think that if we are cursed, something would happen to us. Either we'll become ill, or die, or poor, or something will happen to our relatives. No, this is not the case. With the curse of Allah, this is not the case. The only thing which happens, the heart would be closed. And the faith would not go into it anymore. And it's like for someone who's cursed, who wants to believe, it's like if they want to fly in the sky. فَكَأَنَّمَا يَسَّعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. To have faith for them is like flying in the sky. How difficult it is for a human being to do that without, of course, technology? Well, it's impossible. So, it's impossible for these people to have faith as well, and to be included into that mercy. Now, if this is the case, are we allowed to curse someone, to call for the curse of God, to come on someone, to la'an, okay? So this is the very argument we always have, that you shouldn't curse anyone, or ask for the curse of God. You might ask, oh God, kill him, that's easy. Oh God, take all his relatives, oh God, make him poor, oh God, bring diseases to him. These are very easy type of punishments or dua that you can make against someone. But oh God, curse him means oh God, finish him completely in this world and in the next. Because usually what we pray against people is just to bring calamities in this world. But to curse someone, to call for the curse of God, means that finish him completely in this world and in the next. Abort the whole creation, the purpose of his creation. So are we allowed to curse anyone or not? Well, this is a very difficult question. And certainly, for ordinary things which happen between people, to curse each other is not allowed. We have in many ahadith as well that the Prophet, the Imam, they said that we do not like you to be la'aneen, to curse each other. Of course, if someone is innocent and you ask for the curse of God for them, certainly God is not going to curse them. God doesn't blindly listen to people. This is certain. However, it means complete separation of people from each other. When you curse someone, means that you are completely disowning yourself from them, or disowning themselves from yourself. So, is it allowed or not? There are two verses in the Quran, or even more verses, which allude to yes. Especially the prophets, they were allowed to curse some people, because their curse was the curse of God. And the curse of God was their curse. Anyone cursed by God would have been distanced from them, and vice versa. Anyone cursed by them would have been distanced from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One verse in Surah Ma'idah that we have, that specifically some prophets cursed some people. And this is something quite direct that we cannot give any other interpretation to it. And that is, لُعْنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُودَ وَعِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ. Those who disbelieve or who were ungrateful from Banu Israel, they were cursed on the mouth of Dawood and Isa ibn Maryam. It means that they utter the curse for Banu Israel. Now this is a lesson for us as well. I mean, Banu Israel were faithful people. They were following their religion, following their jurisprudence, following the practice of their religion. However, they had lost the spirit. They had lost the core of the religion. And this is why they rejected Dawood, they rejected Isa ibn Maryam, and they were cursed on their tongue. لُعَنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُودَ وَعِيسَى ابْنِ مَرْيَمَ. They were cursed on the tongue of Dawood and Isa ibn Maryam. ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا, because they were disobedient. وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ, and they were transgressing. Of course there was a reason there. It was not just because Isa ibn Maryam and Dawood didn't like them. Certainly. Just because they were transgressors, they were disobedient, and they cursed them. It means that it is possible also that our prophets or our imams, who are actually surrogates of the prophet, they are just in place of the prophet, they curse someone in this ummah. If Banu Israel and if Dawood and Isa ibn Maryam, who were from Banu Israel themselves, they were allowed to curse Banu Israel, it means that our prophets and imams are allowed to curse people. This verse is very interesting because, of course, these were immaculate people. These were ma'sumin who cursed others. And anyone coming under their curse would come under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if this is possible, then it is possible that our prophet would curse. And we know that, of course, people around our prophet were not much better than people than Banu Israel or people from among other people. They were good and bad everywhere. In Banu Israel there were good and bad people. In Islamic Ummah there were good and bad people. There are good and bad people. So it is possible that they curse some people. And if they curse some people, are we allowed to curse them? Well, certainly if they are cursed by the prophets, it is good to follow the sunnah of the prophet in some in every instance, and in those instances, anyone which prophets kept his distance from and cursed, we curse and we keep distance. And anyone the prophet made friendship with and liked, we make friendship and like. And this is, of course, the meaning of life, loving the prophet, being close to him. Your enemy is my enemy, your friend is my friend. Anyone you curse, I curse. And this is quite reasonable for those who follow the Prophet, peace be on him, and those who follow Imam Ali Musallam, who are actually in the position of Prophet in terms of knowledge and guidance, to be followed in the curse. And moreover, some actions would naturally bring the curse from the faithful, even if they do not utter it. The heart would resent some actions from members of the community, which, although they would not utter the curse, but if you open their heart, it is full of hatred and curse towards those people. And this is probably the meaning of this verse in Surah Baqarah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى. Those who conceal what we have sent down from بَيِّنَات, clear signs and guidance, مِن بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ, after we have explained it for the people in the book, أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهِ, these people Allah would curse them. وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ, and everyone who curses would curse them. Now, of course, it is a difficult verse to explain, and if you refer to different groups of exegesis, they are at pains saying, what is the meaning of يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ? The لَاعِنُونَ, those who curse, would curse them. Are these from among the angels? or prophets, or saints, or ordinary people. Well, it is unconditionally mentioned that whoever that would curse them, or whoever who is allowed, is in the position of cursing, on behalf of God, would curse them. And of course, these are a part different from God. And that is why I said that the action is in a way that if you open the heart of every faithful person, you would find that curse there in the hearts that want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exclude them from His mercy. Now, this, of course, the action is so abhorrent, the action is so disgusting that we have sent down guidance for the people and we have explained it for them in the sense that we have explained it in the book, and these ulama know the book. And this is the meaning of explaining for the people. Of course, not directly explained for everyone. The meaning of explaining it for the people is that we have explained it in a book in a way that the ulama would understand what's the meaning of it. Now, then they conceal it. They keep it from them. This blessing of God comes to the people, these ulama keep it from them, would not let them to know about it. And Allah says, of course, if you open the heart of the believers on the Day of Judgment, you will see that it's full of curse, because guidance, they were deprived of guidance because of these people. Even if you open the heart of those who disbelieve and went astray because of this action, you would find it full of curse. And probably this is the meaning of the verse that people of hell curse each other. كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ لَعْنَتْ أُخْدَهَا. Every time a group goes in, they start cursing the previous group. That you were the cause for this fatal end that we are here now. Of course, they had their own free choice. However, if there were some people concealing things and it was instrumental in what they did, then they would curse. So, although for ordinary things it is not allowed to curse people, but if a prophet and an imam had cursed someone in the ummah, as it happened in the previous ummah, Dawood and Isa ibn Maryam cursed some groups from among Banu Israel. If they have cursed someone, that means asking for exclusion from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then of course, it is a sign of followership that we have to curse them as well. It is funny if someone says, although the Prophet cursed, say for example, a person from among the ummah, but I refrain, I do not curse because I want to keep my mouth clean, or my tongue clean. You want to keep it cleaner than the mouth, the tongue of Prophet, peace be upon him. I mean, this is funny. This is becoming more Catholic than Pope. And sometimes we find this type of tendency among some simplistic Muslims that they say, no, we do not curse anyone because, of course, we leave it to God. Well, God Himself has said that the Prophet cursed some people, and if our Prophet cursed someone, certainly it would please him that we follow him in this sense as well. So, the curse which comes to munafiqeen here, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْكُفَّارَ نَارَ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا هِيَ حَسْبُهُمْ وَلَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ. It means he has distanced them completely from that mercy, which is the purpose of creation, and they will have azabun muqim, everlasting punishment in the hell. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sallam.
Didn't you mention that the person is cursed and his heart is sort of locked, he can't understand, he can't see or listen. He can't see and he can't listen. If that is the situation, how can that person, does the person realize that he is in that situation, that he is in hell, he cannot listen, he cannot understand? The person himself, can...
No, of course not. Of course they do. They cannot. They think that they are the wisest people in the world. They think that everyone is silly, worshipping God. They believe in just superstitions. This is their attitude, certainly.
So they become arrogant, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So what is the chance, or is there any way that they can come out of that situation? How can they come out of that situation?
Yes, there are ways, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept repentance and would actually put ways for people to come to their mind. Of course, it wouldn't happen so dramatically by a jump. It might happen gradually. Just good preaching, some good actions would open the heart again. If a person is cursed, but they go to their human nature and they come to their mind due to some preaching or some mercy of Allah that sometimes blows towards the whole creation. إِنَّ لِرَبِّكُمْ فِي أَيَّامِ دَعْبِكُمْ نَفَحَاتِ. During your lifetime, there are some breezes of mercy coming. And when those breezes of mercy come, it is the time that people would somehow find opportunity to correct themselves, and they do it gradually, of course, from the point of la'na, they would not jump into the point of becoming a very good, faithful person. They would move gradually if they want. But usually these people have ended there because they don't want. Initially they don't want. And initially they are so arrogant and so ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after the curse comes, it would be very difficult for them to somehow repel it.
Just to look at it in a different way, one of the group of people that sort of are cursed is people who have the knowledge and then they can see it.
Yeah.
So if we look at one group of people, they are cursed because of their actions and they have become blind. And then we have another group of people who have the knowledge and they do not impart the knowledge to others and they are cursed in that way. How can the person who has the knowledge can help the person who has been cursed? Can he realize that the other person is cursed and act in a way that he tries to bring out people who he says he sees as cursed?
Now you are now going into nitty-gritties and very technical issues here. I don't know really. I know that good preaching from good people would always help everyone. And if these people are somehow exposed to good preaching and to good people, their heart might soften. The point is, the heart softens gradually, goes dry gradually and softens gradually. It needs a reverse process. And if they have the chance, opportunity, the will, to be exposed to that reverse process, there is a possibility here.
We go to sisters first before we go to brothers. Any sisters? No?
Sheikh made it very clear how Allah curses people and why He does it. But the mechanics of why is it necessary for human beings to actually repeat what Allah is going to do? It makes no difference whether I curse or don't curse. The person's curse is going to happen anyway. Could it be the reason, for example, Nabi Isa cursed a certain people or a certain person is to really raise a flag over their head so that the rest of us could see it? Otherwise, in their hypocrisy, they would make things very fair seeming and it wouldn't be apparent to us. And is that the reason why we do it every Ashura night, for example, so that as a community, we see these flags raised over these people so that for generations and perpetuity, it's very clear and aware, apparent for us. Is that the only reason?
Yeah, I think. Well, maybe not the only reason, but it's a very good reason for it. There might be other reasons. I mean, it might happen that until a waliullah, a very good friend of God, is not so upset by some people. Allah would not curse them. We have in the verse in Surah Zukhruf about Musa alayhi salam and Pharaoh. He says, "Falamma asafuna intaqamna minhum." When they brought us to rage, they rose our wrath. Then we, of course, punished them. And we have in many of our hadiths, that means when they actually made Musa, brought him to the very utmost rage and wrath. And this is why Allah punished them, because his friend was so annoyed by them. And in fact, these things would go among human beings. This is very important. You annoy people who are very close to God, whose will are will of God. And then God will actually bring that curse or that punishment to people. So maybe because they were cursed by Isa, Allah cursed them. Because they rose that feeling in Isa alayhi salam that these people should be distanced from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This might be a reason. But the reason you mentioned, I think, is quite understandable and quite reasonable to mention. Yes, you have to somehow distinguish these people and keep away from them and always actually make them outstanding among other hypocrites or kuffar or evil people as those who were cursed by the Prophet and therefore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
My question is, we have talked so far about the curse of Allah being visited on people who keep others from knowing the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about those people who do not care about any of this but are so vile and deprive other people of their rights, of their just rights, usurp everybody's rights? They may not actually stop others from practicing their religion or following Allah's law, but then they usurp every right that the other person has and drive them to subject them to great tribulations. What about such people? Does Allah curse them too?
Yeah, most probably. As I said, we have many ahadith from the Prophet that he said, La'an Allah so and so. May God curse for them. La'an Allahul Muhannatina min al-Rajal wal Mutarajjilat min al-Nisa. May God curse those men who assume a woman attire or those women who assume a man attire. If this action is something which is cursed by the Prophet, and there are many others, I do not remember now. If you go to Jamu al-Sahir al-Suyuti, he has listed all these under the letter Lam, La'anallah, from the Prophet. And this is something like what Isa alayhi salam and Dawood did in their Ummah. They cursed and he cursed. Of course, not all of them are authentic. But yes, of course, if the action is abhorrent, it would bring the curse of Allah. It would exclude people from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, of course, Allah is not very quick-tempered. You know, he's very patient. He's very forbearant. He waits for people to return. It's not just like us, as soon as we see something, we start cursing or we start punishing. No. He's very patient. He let people to go on and on and on. For many generations, you see, at the time of Dawood, to the time of Musa, and to the time of Isa ibn Maryam, it's a long time. And they did all those things that they did. And eventually Dawood started to curse them. And then after that, many things happened. Eventually Isa started to curse them. So, we have to be very careful about this, of course. It's not up to us to judge who's under curse, who's not under the curse. But certainly what we can say is that if Prophet has cursed anyone, and we find example of them in others, they are under the curse as well. And no matter whether we curse or not, the curse goes into the heart. And this is something which brings the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Is there any further on I'm
not sure whether you said that in order to enter the mercy of Allah, we have to have free will.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
The angels don't have free will, but surely they are under the mercy of Allah.
Not in that special mercy that we are going to be entered in. No. Because when Allah speaks about human beings, He says, I have actually set up all this process to enter some people in my mercy. And that mercy, of course, is quite different from what angels are in. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. You follow the Prophet and Allah, maybe you come under that mercy. And this is something which is of course only possible in the world of human beings, obeying and disobeying. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you as a mercy to all human beings, so that you make them to enter that mercy. That mercy is very different, and when people enter paradise, they start to somehow distance themselves in terms of levels from angels, and they go higher and higher day by day. And the angels have specific position. وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا لَهُ مَقَامٌ مَعْدُومٌ. Every one of us has a set station. We cannot exceed it. Human beings can exceed all the stations. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is due to that fruit.
Sister, hello. I wanted to ask a sensitive question, actually. Some people have a habit of cursing close companions of the Prophet and even some members of the household of the Prophet. Did Prophet curse them? And if not, do people who curse
them,
the right to curse these people
of companions and certain members of the Prophet? Well, if we have a sound reason, we wouldn't do that, even if it was allowed. Certainly, we have some ahadith from our Imam. Of course, Prophet, we have hadith from the Prophet who cursed Muawiyah. That's something very different.
I don't mean in that respect. At the time of the Prophet, the Ashab of the Prophet, the close Ashab of the Prophet.
Yeah, as I said, from the Prophet we have for Muawiyah, of course. Certainly some Sunni brothers, they do not accept this ahadith from the Prophet who cursed Muawiyah. But we have this in very, very authentic Sunni books, that Prophet cursed Muawiyah, which was, of course, one of his companions later on, after the conquest of Mecca. With regards to others, we have some ahadith in Shi'i books from A'imma that some of the companions who actually deprived the right heirs of the Prophet from their rights were cursed. However, this is something which, of course, they did not ever reveal in the Muslim community, because it would have created discord, it would have created fitna. And if we do it today, and even if it's allowed, I'll just put it under suspicion, if we do it today, we have just created fitna without any reason. And therefore no person with sound reason would ever do that in the Muslim community.
Thank you, Sheikh.
I just wanted to add maybe to Mohammed Brother's question. And I think I've heard that it was Bibi Fatima that said to Abu Bakr's face that she would curse him in every prayer. I mean, I know it's not a thing for us then to go ahead, but isn't that true?
Well, it's. I haven't seen this hadith. I have seen the hadith that mentions she told to Abu Bakr and Umar that she is angry with them. She has wrath against them. And she asked them that, did you not hear the Prophet saying that Fatima is a part of me. Whatever displeases her would displease me, and whatever pleases her would please me. They said that, yes, we heard this from the Prophet. And she said, so I tell you now that I'm very, very displeased from you. This hadith I have heard. The curse I haven't. However, these are single ahadith. We cannot rely on single ahadith for these issues. There should be plenty of these ahadith so that we could rely on them.
Sister,
Sheikh, can you tell which group of people this Isa was?
Well, it says لُعْنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ, and these were certainly the rabbis who rejected Isa alayhi salam and opposed him by all means which were at their disposal. Certainly not ordinary people. They were a group of knowledgeable, learned people from Banu Israel who actually opposed him and imposed it upon the lay people that this is not the Messiah and you should not follow him.
Yeah, this was a very good question actually, because somebody else had some similar thing in his mind that so as the Jews at present, we don't consider that they are cursed continuously.
Yes, certainly. As I said, we never can judge who is under curse, who is not under curse. It is not to us to know about it. And we are not asked about it, certainly. Just to know that this happened to some people due to concealing, due to rejecting the Prophet. And whoever they have cursed, we curse. The best thing is, usually, we have this in Hadith as well, that we confess and admit, or make it as our type of admission that we curse whomever you have cursed and we defend with whomever you have defended. And that would bring multiple curse on those people who are cursed by the Prophet and by Imam Ali.
Thank you, Sheikh. We thank you for the holy attendance. We close up the session.